Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it all in her head? Was she seeing things that weren't actually there, or was she seeing and experiencing something that no one else could?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, we'd love to hear it. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You want access to all of our bonus material, extra episodes, the full archive. It's all there for you. Apple Podcast, our premium channel there, or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
We were just talking off the air a little bit about an excursion that you went on for the eclipse, right?
Yeah, yep, yep.
Very cool thing. Did you see like some of these stories where like people were doing fake glasses?
Like the glasses that were sold like illegally that really didn't protect you?
Yeah, like there was actually a library someplace that went out and bought all these glasses for the kids so that they could free watch the eclipse, and then they found out that they were fake.
Oh, God.
And luckily, library thought something was fishy up front, so they pulled it from everybody. I don't think anybody got harmed by it, but geez, I mean, anything for a buck these days, I guess.
I know. And the thing is, I mean, I was at a gas station right before it took place, and they had some extras. They're like, and I already brought ours with us. And they're like, you want some of these? And Harper took one. And, you know, and I took a look at them, and they were not anywhere near like the level of darkness that the ones we had were. So I wonder if those were fake ones that, and they just didn't know, you know, they're just, you know, trying to sell them. But yeah, that's scary. I mean, even with the right glasses, you're not supposed to like completely stare though, right?
Yeah. You should just be careful with the whole thing. And I guess it's not like you don't go instantly blind or anything, but it can just do enough damage to your eyes that, you know, they're weaker than they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's scary. I mean, and it's interesting because I couldn't understand like, well, what are the glasses for? And then you see it with the glasses and you go, oh, okay, I get it. Because otherwise you don't really notice the eclipse unless you're like in the totality of it where it really gets covered, that is pretty freaking amazing. The first time I saw that, that was amazing. But until you get to that point, it's just the sun's so bright, you can't even see the moon. It just kind of gets a little shady. It feels almost like dusk a little bit. But that's scary of what that could do to you.
Was this your first total eclipse?
The first time I was ever in the path of totality of an eclipse.
Nice.
I've seen other ones, but I've never been where it completely covers the sun and you can see it without the glasses and it's just completely blocked off. It was a really neat thing to see. I think what the next one's like 30 years or something from now. Yeah. So if I'm still around, I'm going to try and go to that one too, because it was pretty cool to see.
That's awesome. Of course, that's not something I would do, and I would never go where all those people are. I could never, you know, go to those towns and stuff like that. Yeah, so you know, I would have to avoid it.
We were in a pretty abandoned area. There was a few people that came up to that parking lot, but it really wasn't too bad. But it was interesting because the whole area, you know, you'd go driving down the roads and there was like eclipse parking in people's yards and stuff. Cause it was up in Arkansas and some of the mountains and stuff. And there was some really good views, but yeah, it was an interesting day, to see everybody kind of doing the same sort of thing, in that area. But yeah,
that's cool.
It was cool.
Cool.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
My name is Lauren. I'm from a little bit outside of St. Louis, Missouri, and I have so many stories. I don't know. Whenever it all started, like way back when I was little, and it's the most bizarre thing because I, you know, have sat and asked my parents so many times if like this was just a dream or if it was real. But whenever I was a little kid, my mom did hair, so she would do hair at home if she, you know, wasn't out. And people would come over to our house. And there would be times that she would be like, oh, Lauren, go get the door. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, okay. So, like, as a child, I mean, I had to have been about 5 or 6 years old. And I would open the door. And it was so bizarre because I knew that there was a person there. But I saw it as, like, almost, like, skeletal, like, almost like a corpse. And it scared me half to death. So it was the most bizarre thing because I felt almost like I was, like, in this, like, trance-like state or something like that, that I only had a certain amount of time to get from the door through our living room and, like, cross this threshold of our house before I knew that I would be okay. Like, I would open the door, and this thing just would emit, like, the worst bad energy. And I, to this day, like, it's so bizarre because I cannot distinguish if this was, like, all in my head or if this was real life or if I was just sensitive to something. I mean, this continued for years, and eventually it stopped, and I didn't have a problem with that anymore. And I started noticing, like, I almost, like, I don't want to say that I, like, had these, you know, psychic things that were going on, but I would be able to, you know, say something, and it would happen weeks later. Like, it almost felt like a Twilight Zone episode or something like that, because I would have extreme deja vu, and my, you know, my friends would be like, weren't you just talking about this, and look at this, it's, like, happening. Like, it would be the most bizarre thing. So, I really became, like, very interested in, like, psychic stuff and, like, the paranormal whenever I was in my, like, very early teens. It felt like someone was in the house with me, watching me at all times. And it made me so uncomfortable that I had to start sleeping with a nightlight in my bedroom. And I had to have been, like, 13. I started seeing this shadow figure, and it looked like this, like, tall, really black, didn't have a face, figure that would walk, and it looked, you know, and it would move very, very slowly, but it felt like it was always coming for me. And I would see it from at home, at school. I went to Catholic school. I was born and raised Catholic, and I, you know, I would see it at church. And, like, that's when I started to get very, very, very terrified, because that I was like, okay, if this is something that's, like, actually real, actually evil, like, I feel like I should not be able to see it in church. So I went and I talked to my priest about it, and he told me, you know, that if I was not baptized, then I needed to be baptized immediately. And then he kind of just went on of, like, oh, we'll do a blessing and, like, don't watch anything scary anymore and yada, yada, yada. And I, you know, it didn't help. And I was getting upset because I was trying to talk to people about this and express my concerns about this, and no one else could see it. And so, you know, a couple weeks go by, and this is still going on, and I'm in my bedroom, and at this point, this is going on for months, and I've been waking up at 3 a.m. for the past couple months, and it got to the point where I was sleeping with a Bible in my bed, rosaries under my pillows, like, prayer cards surrounding me. I was terrified. So this one night in particular, I woke up at 3 a.m. and saw this thing in my bedroom at the foot of my bed just staring at me, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I tried to remember all of my prayers. Being born and raised Catholic, like, I know some of these prayers like the back of my hand, and I could not remember any of them for the life of me. And I was terrified. I've never been so scared of anything ever in my life. So I, you know, started praying to St. Michael because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. And I had this vision of St. Michael next to my bed. And it was like my entire room, like, lit up. And it just felt so peaceful and so, like, illuminated with peace and happiness. And like, this weight had just been lifted up off of my shoulders, and it felt like it lasted forever because I saw this vision, and I never saw it again until a couple years later. But I mean, I think there was only one time that my brother had also seen the figure, and he was much younger than me and said that he was very scared of it as well, but no one else believed us. Like, they all thought I was insane. I would have absolute panic attacks and go into hysterics about seeing this thing places, and my, you know, my parents would just look at me and be like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is going on? flash forward a few years later, I'm in my mid-20s now, and I was on a retreat doing something, like leading a group of people, because I was always very involved with like the youth community at my church and stuff. And so this had to have been in my, my teens. And I went on this retreat, and it was a good time, you know, whatever. And I came back, and because I'm practicing Catholic, I go to, listen for reconciliation. And so I was having this dream. And again, this is in my parents' house, my childhood bedroom. And I had this dream that I was in this most, like, the most beautiful house, pristine white, just absolutely gorgeous, so peaceful. And I was sitting in this, like, area of this house that was almost like a giant reading room. And it just, I mean, I don't want to say, like, I felt like it was heaven, but it seemed like to the extent of that. And so I'm sitting in this room in my dream, and I guess I'm like talking to God, asking for like absolution from sin or something like that, because I kept repeating the same thing over and over in my dream and asking for forgiveness for it. And in my dream, this house like started to crumble. And I could hear screaming and just anger and anguish and like pure wrath and fury. And like I just can't even begin to describe how angry it was. And I woke up and my entire bed was shaking. I have never have experienced anything like that in my life that has, led me to believe that I have some sort of ability to kind of hone in on something that is not of like this natural world, because I knew it felt so familiar to me, of what I had experienced and whatever it was that I kind of asked to never see again when I was a child. It felt so familiar. It was almost like I knew, and this thing was like telling me that it was back. Ever since then, I haven't seen anything. Every once in a while, I do have an instance of like dreams where I see this figure thing. I don't know. These are just a handful of the stories that I've had. I definitely have more. I just wanted to call in and share them with you. I would love to hear your insight, because I have been binge listening to your podcast, and it is so comforting to hear other people that have similar stories. So, thank you guys for sharing this with everyone, and hopefully sharing it with everyone, but keep up the good work, and yeah, have a good rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Thoughts on all that?
If I remember properly in the story, I think mm-hmm. she said she was like in her early teens and stuff like that, when some of the, maybe just before her teenage years. And that really is where, a lot of young women and young men, because of the stress in their lives, there's some thought process that they could become, basically creating this stuff themselves. And I wonder if that had something to do with it. I was just over the weekend reading a book about how some paranormal psychologists actually believe that we create some of the things in life that haunt us, mm-hmm. and actually believe like things like Sasquatch and Bigfoot and all that kind of stuff aren't necessarily real in the natural world, but because as a group of people, sometimes we think about it, we tell stories about it, we actually can create these things out of thin air. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe she and maybe her siblings had something to do with some of the stuff going on. So I'd love to hear more stories from her.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would too. I've wondered that for a while now about us haunting ourselves, basically, where, right. Are these things, is it something that's out there coming to us, or is it something that it's our own energies that are making that happen,
or if our energies are fueling it to happen. Like maybe something's there, but because of who we are and the things we're thinking and the thought processes that we're putting out there, mm-hmm. if we're not conjuring some of this stuff up ourselves.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing to think about. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also get access to our bonus material, advanced episodes, the whole archive, ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, and on Apple Podcasts and our premium channel right there. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.